Today on CityCast Houston. Last time we talked to Chris Hollins, he was running for city controller. Well, since then, he's won, and it has now been 100 days since he took over. And a lot has happened. Chris is back with me today to break down the city's budgetary concerns, how the new firefighter settlement is going to impact the city's finances, and the hardest part about his new role. It's Monday, April 15th. I'm Raheel Ramzanali, and here's what Houston's talking about. Chris, welcome back into CityCast Houston. How are you?
Hey, Raheel. I'm doing great this afternoon. How's everything with you?
Everything is good, man. 100 days in office, huh? That's why I wanted to bring you on, kind of just check in how things are going. Last time we talked, you were on the campaign trail, you won office, and now fast forward 100 days in, how's it been?
It's really flown by. There's no shortage of things around this city that need some attention paid to them. And so, you know, we have a really strong team here, but we're small and we're scrappy. And we've just been keeping our heads down working. You know, some of the highlights of the first quarter, one of them was the Terminal B expansion at United. You know, it took us a bit of time to go through a full diligence process. But once we completed that and made sure that it was the best deal available for Houstonians, we're excited. And now we have, you know, what's going to be a $2.6 billion expansion in Terminal B at George Bush Intercontinental Airport. That's going to be, you know, complete, some of it in time for World Cup, but you know, mostly in about a three-year time span. And that's going to create a bunch of jobs for Houstonians. It's going to, you know, increase Houston's image on the global map and bring more travelers to our great city. So excited about that. And then, as you might have also heard, there's this proposed settlement with our Houston firefighters.
Yeah.
And look, our position here is that our firefighters deserve to have financial security, right? They worked without a contract for many, many years, many of those years without a raise. And not only do we want to make sure that they have that financial security, that they have the dignity and respect that comes with doing the work that they do, putting themselves at great risk, you know, to keep us safe. We also want to make sure, number one, that we're competitive with other cities so we can keep attracting talented people to do that work, but also that we do that without breaking the bank, that we're being financially responsible, right? And so, you know, our office has dug into those numbers, has done our best to share what this deal means for Houston in a way that regular folks can understand. And we're going to continue to do that because, you know, we're still not quite at the finish line yet.
Yeah, let's stick with the firefighters deal, right? Since you brought it up, let's talk about this because that is the biggest story so far into the 100 days of your term right now. When a deal like that is negotiated and Mayor Whitmire is going back and forth with the union, they come to an agreement. Is there communication between you and the mayor and kind of like the outline of the deal, or is it he gets it done and then he goes, "Hey, Chris, make this work"?
So both for our office and for city council, you know, we found out about the deal when you did, right? Now, you know, each of us has received some form of a briefing about the terms of that deal. But even as of today, I have yet to look at a draft of that settlement agreement or a draft of the collective bargaining agreement. And so we're still working, you know, with an understanding of the high notes. Obviously, before city council approves the agreement, they're going to want to read it. And of course, we're going to want to read it as well to make sure that we can do our job as the watchdog, you know, as the chief transparency officer for the city, to make sure that both the policymakers and regular folks across this community know what's going on in this deal, have an understanding of what it means for them, and can judge for themselves if they think it's a good deal or a bad deal.
When you look at the deal, and of course, there's been so many different stories that come from the deal, right? We're talking about it's going to cost the city about $1.1 to $1.3 billion over the next, you know, handful of years. And talking to citizens, are people okay with this, or is this something that we need to tighten up? Like, what are you getting in terms of feedback from constituents?
Sure. Yeah, so just to kind of touch on the numbers, we're talking about a $650 million settlement for back pay, right? And that's intended to make firefighters whole for the last 7 years where they didn't have a deal and where they weren't getting raises for a good chunk of that.
Yeah.
In addition, there's a forward-looking collective bargaining agreement that's on the table that would give firefighters raises for the next 5 years, right? And so let's talk about that a little bit. For back pay, that's $650 million. I think that's what you were referring to, which if we use a bond to pay that, because we don't have $650 million in cash laying around, then we're going to stretch that out over 25 to 30 years in the same way you would a mortgage, right? And so when you tack on interest over a 25 or 30 year period, that's how you get to that $1.1 to $1.3 billion calculation. And if you simply just divide that up over that period of time, you know, into steady payments, we're talking about, you know, $40 to $45 million annually. So that's quite a bit of money. Now, when you look at the forward-looking piece, the contract for the next 5 years, getting a 10% raise in year one, and then getting, you know, potentially a 6% raise annually for 4 years after that, that first year, that 10% raise that's locked in, that's going to cost us about $36 million. If they get the maximum raises over the continuing 5 years, then by fiscal year 2029, that bill is going to be $140 million.
Wow.
Right. And so you tack on, you know, this $36 to $140 million annually, and then you also add up the $45 million annually from the bond payments. And that gets to be a hefty sum of money pretty quickly. And where we're sitting at today is that we already are projecting a $160 to $200 million structural deficit for next year, and tack on $45 million for the bonds, $36 million for the raise, and that 160 to 200 goes up to, you know, 230 to 280. So, you know, so the question you asked was, well, what do folks in the community have to say about this, right? From what I'm understanding, you know, people still don't know what the numbers truly mean. I mean, $650 million, it sounds like a big number, but you put that in the context of, again, stretching it over many years, how big is our budget already, right? Most people don't know the answer to that question. And then if it's going to result in, say, a different tax bill for them, you know, people have yet to understand what that's going to mean, right? How big will the tax raise be that the mayor and city council vote on? And then is that $100 a year more for me, for my household? Is it $1,000? Like, what's that answer? And we're just not quite there yet with the facts, right? We need the final contract. We need the proposed solution, because the drum that I've been banging is saying, hey, we do want to pay our firefighters fairly and competitively. We have to be clear about how we're paying for it so that we keep the city above water. And that plan has yet to be laid out in detail. And so, you know, we're going to wait to hear about it. But in the meantime, again, we're sharing the numbers, which we have, that this is going to cost us $80 million in the first year, and it's going to keep going up from there. And then saying, with the financial situation we're already in, let's think of ways that we could, you know, structure the city's finances going forward so we can afford this.
When do you anticipate the full report, all the details, the final contract from both sides?
I haven't received any guidance on when that's coming. Now, I do know that both parties, the firefighters and the mayor, want to get this solidified before the end of this fiscal year, which is June 30th. That way, all of the new terms can be incorporated into next year's budget, and City Council can vote on that with a clear view. And so that gives us, you know, this quarter, that gives us, you know, 2.5 months. But if City Council is going to really be digging through the details of this, then we want to get our hands on it much sooner. And so I think it would behoove folks to make a draft available. At last week's City Council meeting, our city attorney alluded to making a draft available pretty soon here. And so we're waiting in the same way you are.
Houston's original neighborhood downtown is for everyone, and it's popping. It's our open-hearted home for our biggest celebrations and our treasured hidden gems. From the world-class theater district to incredible green spaces like Discovery Green, downtown is the place to be. In fact, more people visited downtown Houston last year than the entire population of Dallas, Fort Worth, Austin, and San Antonio combined. There's no better time to live downtown than now. From starter apartments to luxury lofts, everyone can take advantage of the arts, business, culture, entertainment, food, and recreation. Now, you might think of downtown as only the heartbeat of Houston's regional economy, which it is, but there's so much more to it, including free events throughout the week with Downtown Houston Plus. From the Market Square Park Farmers Market every Saturday to Yoga Flow every Wednesday, you can find something to do and eat and watch in downtown Houston. Learn more at downtownhouston.org. Downtown Houston, get energized and revived. So let's talk about solutions, right? Because I've heard you, I've heard city council members talk about different solutions in making sure that the city doesn't go bankrupt, right? Whether it be the trash fee, right? Collection on trash. It could be parking hours extended, so you have to pay for meter parking. What other solutions are there, or are these the only solutions right now that everyone is kind of working off of based on the information y'all have?
Sure. Well, you want to look at the cost side, you know, and the revenue side. And I think that any Houstonian would want us to make sure we were being as efficient as we could be with the resources that we already have before we start to look at revenue. And that's really sensible. Mm-hmm. What we're spending time on at this moment is a report called the PFM report from 2017. That report was done by, you know, a paid consultant for the city, and it laid out 58 different options for efficiency. And, you know, as of the time that I took office, less than a dozen of those had been pursued in a meaningful way. And so, you know, we're going to always try to be as practical as we can be. Let's not recreate the wheel. Let us look at what's in those recommendations from 2017, understand if those recommendations are still relevant today. And if so, further understand, you know, how much does each one mean for us in potential savings, and how hard would that be to put in place or to implement? And then from there, say, it looks like, you know, of the 40 or so remaining, this handful or maybe more than that should be pursued right now to save us some money, right? So that's step number one. Step number two, obviously, is throwing the kitchen sink at it. Let's bring in more ideas that haven't been included or that are more modern and forward-looking, right? Can the city save on its real estate footprint, you know, by having administrative workers work from home a little bit more often and then shrinking the space that we need to house workers? Can we look at ways to be more efficient with the way that we use power and energy, right? So bring our light bill down. Are there other things that we can do to be more efficient? Now, the administration has laid out a 5% across the board cut, which they're saying could amount to $20 million in savings. I think we'll wait to see if that's something that comes to fruition. And the reason I say that is, you know, this city, if you look across departments, folks are clamoring for better services, right? And the services that we provide are not luxury services. They're critical. They're things that are necessities for Houstonians. And so while we should pursue these efficiency opportunities, our concern in my mind should be about making sure that we're maintaining the level of services that Houstonians are receiving, that they're paying for, that they deserve, and that they expect, and that we're not sacrificing that on a mission to cut, you know, for purely budgetary reasons. We just have to be realistic, right?
Yeah.
So that's one thing that's been laid out on the cost saving side. But what you were mentioning was more on the revenue side, right? The garbage fee, what they're now calling the public safety add-on, which would be, you know, a tax increase that would go to the voters for approval in the fall. Those are real options that city council and the mayor are going to have to think through and propose. What the mayor has floated and what his finance team has floated as it relates to the garbage fee is somewhere between a $15 and $20 monthly fee. That is in the ballpark of what you see in other major cities across Texas. So far, we are the only one of the top handful of cities. When you think about Dallas, Austin, Fort Worth, San Antonio, El Paso, we're the only one that doesn't have a garbage fee today. And so that's something that's being considered. And then if you were to ask the voters for more money in the fall, the administration is going to have to decide how big of an axe that will be. That could be 10 million, 50 million, 100 million, 200 million, right? And that's going to be up to them. And then again, once we start to hear about some of these suggestions, what we want to do is take that and then translate that into English for you and for your listeners and for every Houstonian so that you can understand how it's going to apply in your life.
I think you did a good job of that earlier this month when you said, look, we're on the verge of going broke, right? Like the numbers just don't make sense. So one last question with the firefighters deal, right? If this deal doesn't get done right now, is it as dire right now? Are we okay? Or is it still you're sounding the alarms that, look, we're in a bad position in terms of next year, the following year, where the city just won't have enough money?
No, look, even before any proposed firefighter settlement or forward-looking deal, we already have a $160 to $200 million hole in the budget, right? And so while the firefighter conversation might be, you know, the most recent launch point for this kind of conversation about the city's finances, this settlement is not on its own going to be the reason that significant structural change has to come about. It's that we've been spending more than we're bringing in consistently for many, many years. And that, you know, the safety valves that we would have used in the past, like selling a piece of real estate or bringing in federal funds that are the result of some disaster, those options are no longer available to us. And so we're going to have to make, you know, some big boy and big girl decisions that are going to put us on a better footing financially going forward.
And some of those decisions will be made with audits that you and your office will be doing. It's starting with the water department, and I know there's going to be other departments audited as well. How important is that going to be, just making sure that, you know, everything is being spent correctly and we're as efficient as possible as a city?
Yeah, look, our number one job is to keep the city afloat, right? That means not certifying any expenditure that's going to put us in the red. But right alongside of that, it's being the watchdog, it's cracking down on waste, fraud, and abuse, and then it's identifying opportunities for us to do better, plain and simple. And so this water audit that we're launching here with our Public Works Department, the goal is to answer some of the most burning questions that Houstonians have. You know, why is my water bill so high right now? How many of my neighbors are experiencing this same thing? What's the plan to help me right now? And then what's the longer term plan to make sure that the city doesn't face these issues in years to come? And so those are some of the questions that we hope to answer through this audit.
Chris, we've talked about so many different numbers and so many different topics that are important to Houstonians. Are there any other concerns that we should know about that could be impacting the city's budget or the city in general here in the next few months?
Well, look, the big thing is that we're moving into budget season. And so between now and early June, the mayor's going to be formally proposing a budget. City Council will be spending time sifting through that, providing amendments. And what they vote on will be how the city plans to spend money, your hard-earned tax dollars, and to collect revenue in the coming year. And so that's an incredibly important discussion that we're going to be weighing in on quite a bit. And look, you mentioned the water audit. The one thing that we're going to be pushing for our office, and I made this very clear to the mayor and every member of city council I've spoken to, is that we need more auditors in the city of Houston. You know, when I took office, we only had 10 approved auditors, and that includes, you know, the managers and supervisors. And if you compare us to, again, Dallas, Fort Worth, Austin, San Antonio, El Paso, we obviously have the biggest city with the biggest budget by far, and we have fewer auditors looking after our tax dollars than any of those cities, and by a long shot. And so we're going to be asking them to offer an amendment that allows us to put more auditors in this office that can be tracking down these savings opportunities that we need so much of going forward. So that's one thing, you know, on my soapbox.
Yeah.
But big picture, the budget season that we're coming into right now is going to be critical for the next year, and it's going to set us on the path for what's going to happen for years to come.
How many more auditors do we need?
That's a great question. I mean, what I've said is that easily, you know, we need another 10, but you can make an argument that each and every one that we hire is going to pay for themselves times over with the savings opportunities that they identify. And so I would say the sky's the limit, but I think we can healthily start with 10.
All right. The first 100 days outside of the actual budget, looking at the numbers, what's been the most difficult part?
Just being honest with you, it's been managing, you know, my time. I'm coming from a campaign season where it was just wire to wire, you know, say yes to everything, be as active as you can in every part of the community. And that's become sort of my instinct and my muscle to say yes. And we want to be present out in the community. But we also have real work to do in this office, as we've discussed over the last few minutes. And I'm also a husband and a father.
Yeah.
And so taking time to do all those things, balancing it, making sure that I have the right amount of time set aside to knock out important tasks, to review my team's work, to think about plans for the future. It's something that I'm really focused on, you know, over the last month, because I was just running off of adrenaline and everything was incredible. And then, as you know, in these times, you know, you hit that wall and you're like, all right,
you gotta step back.
We're working on balance, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a process over a long period of time that we try to get right. And I'm sure my kids will have a lot to say about it.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that was one of the most talked about parts from the last time you joined us. Was our listeners who gave us feedback was like, that's so cool that Chris is still helping with drop off, helping with the kids, putting their socks on, right? Like, we had a fun moment about that in the last interview. So you're still getting a chance to do that right now, right? Or is it harder to do?
Yeah, I'm an assistant coach on a 3-year-old t-ball team. I'm an assistant coach on a 7-year-old softball team. I'm still dropping off in the morning,
man.
And so you know, we're holding on strong there. But you know, obviously, as important as this work is, I have to bring my full self to it. And we're doing that, but I also want to bring my full self to being present in my family's lives.
That's perfectly said. And again, I know it's a busy time, so we appreciate you joining us here on CityCast Houston. Thank you, Chris, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Always a pleasure. Talk soon.
That was City Controller Chris Hollins. Let us know your thoughts on the budget with the contact info in our show notes. That will do it for today. Thank you for listening, and I hope you learned something new. Look at that. The background is so different this time around, Chris. Look at that office.
Yeah, we got things decorated a little bit.